In Jesus' name, amen. Our devotion for this morning comes from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and specifically verses 14 through 16. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul speaks to us about our eternal destiny and purpose, the inheritance for us won by Christ on the cross. Paul then is now talking to us about the new thing that Jesus is doing for us. Something revolutionary. That God's promises go beyond what could ever have been imagined under the old covenant and is found in the new person in Jesus Christ. And in this new person is now the cessation of all distinction between Jew and Gentile. And while this was surprising to hear by Paul's hearers, the prophetic witness bears witness about the coming of the Christ, and that this plan, which was planned before the foundation of the whole world, was witnessed by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, regarding the university of salvation for all people. Isaiah writes, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." Few verses after it, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Did God's people perceive the new thing which he was planning for since the foundation of the world? The old hostilities and divisions would cease as the wild branch of the Gentiles would be grafted into God's vineyard as God, the master vine dresser, had always planned for the inclusion of the Gentiles in his salvation plan, but in the fullness of time to take place. And Paul knew the fullness of time had taken place because now the Christ has come, and so now too the ministry to the Gentiles. And again, Isaiah bears witness of this newness of God in Isaiah 65, "For behold, I make a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." For Paul, this is new heavens and this new earth is a now and not yet reality. But it is fully expressed now in the church. It's God's divine plan through his son, Jesus Christ, has come to make all things new. Christ himself speaks about this in the Gospel of Matthew, in the parable of the wineskins. "Neither is the new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilt, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is to be put into fresh wineskins, so that both are preserved." The old covenant, the law itself, was the problem for God's people. The purpose of the law was to divide. It was to divide God between humanity and between two different groups of sinful people, Jew and Gentile. This wall of hostility that brought sin and death. But that this law divided one group of men, the Jews, and one sinful group of men, Gentiles, is now abolished. Jew and Gentile now being brought together in the one body of the new man, Jesus Christ. We often look to the old for familiarity and for comfort. For the Greeks and the Gentiles, they looked to the old things of their civilization, their past accomplishments and past glories. They saw time as cyclical, as going through cycles, and yet nothing could surpass what they had accomplished by their cultural inheritance and took pride in what was old. For the Jew, too, they took pride in what was old. They took pride that God himself had worked among them and that he led them out of Egypt and did mighty works and signs. And it was a point of pride. And yet God abolished all of what was old to bring in the new. Jesus says in Revelation, "Behold, I am making all things new." So God abolished the distinction between Jew and Gentile and made something new through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ, the law is abolished. For Christ fulfilled the law and its demands perfectly. And the problem of the division caused by the law is no more, as all things are united in Christ. Not only does God call us to repent and trusting in past glories and accomplishments, but he calls us to look forward to new things, to put on our new self, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. God abolished the old order of things and put to death all divisions and hostilities through himself. And in him and in Christ, our sins are no more. He remembers them no more. He sees your new self, created of the waters of holy baptism, washed and clean and righteous in his sight. This is you in Jesus Christ, a new creation. And when you have the old, when you have the new, why would you seek after the old? And maybe the modern version of the parable should be this. Why would he who has a Nintendo Switch decide to go back to the Super Nintendo? The point being, what God has given you in Jesus Christ, which is new, is surpassing of anything that is old. Christ has visited you, and he has given you salvation, and he speaks to you new mercies every morning. And God's word is not stale, it's not dusty, it's not to be put away on a shelf and forgotten as old testimony, but it is a living, active witness of the prophets and apostles given to you in the present to remind you of your ultimate destiny, of your eternal citizenship, found not in the old heavens and in the old earth, but in the new heavens and in the new earth, a new body in the resurrection of the dead. Behold, Christ has come to make all things new. In Jesus' name, amen.